Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Verse 25, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. I read to you there in the first chapter of the book of John about the Word was with God and the Word was God. And God spake from heaven through the Word. God speaks to us through the Word, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it says here, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. It means that we are to give earnest heed and careful attention to him that speaks. Earnest heed and careful attention. see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. And I've already said that means give earnest heed and careful attention, that by no means and in no way we might refuse him that speaketh. That which Jesus Christ speaks concerns my soul and it concerns your soul. And if that's true, then we ought to give earnest heed and careful attention. And I've told you more times than one that when God made us, He fashioned us out after the dust of the earth, and He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. We became a living soul. Saved soul or lost soul, the soul of man always exists. There's no doing away with a man's soul. It's from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity. The soul of man never perishes, is never really destroyed. The soul of man, the eternal destiny of the soul of man, wind up in one place or another. It'll either be with God and in His presence throughout all eternity, or it'll be separated from the presence of God throughout the endless ages. So when He says, see that ye refuse not Him that speaketh, I say unto you, as best I can, that which Jesus speaks concerns your soul and my soul. It concerns your everlasting destiny. It's God's wisdom. It's God's way of mercy. It's God's way of salvation. That which He speaks, if it were a secondary matter, a matter of less importance, then I would not bid you or even myself to be too earnest about it, if it was a secondary matter. But it is a matter of vital importance. It is a matter that condescends all other matters. It concerns your soul. Your soul concerns heaven, it concerns hell, it concerns your everlasting portion. See, he said, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. To refuse him, I read to you in 1 John about the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says he came unto his own, the Word. Incarnated Word. Word made flesh. That it came unto his own. That is, it came unto his own nation. He was born a Jew, an Israelite. Indeed, where there is no God. He came unto the Jewish nation, came unto his own. But his own would not have him. They wouldn't have him. They refused him that speaketh. They refused him that cometh from heaven. And men and women and boys and girls have been refusing him from then until now. Refusing him that speaketh. I said if it were a secondary matter, we need not be so earnest about receiving it. But all things under heaven, nothing so concerns you and I as the gospel of Him who speaks, the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, refuse not this precious word. Word that is far more precious than gold and silver and rubies and all the precious stones put together. More precious is that word that he speaks. In considering this, let me remind you that you have an enemy. That there is an enemy of yours who will do all he can that you may refuse him that speaks. The enemy that you have, the enemy that I have, is the devil himself, Satan. He's at his best where the gospel is preached. Where it is most earnestly preached, where it is preached all the time, he's at his very best, and he's your enemy. And he'll do everything in his power under the sun to cause that gospel not to be heard by you, lest it take root in your heart and save your soul. He'll give you 10,000 excuses not to pay heed, not to pay careful attention to that which he speaks. Let the sower scatter handful of seeds on the plowed ground, and the birds will find out the seed and soon devour them. And when the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is preached, the birds of the air, the fiends of hell, will by some means try to remove them so that these truths will not find lodging place in your heart, lest they should take root and give you life. So, what I'm saying is, I'm trying to emphasize the importance of the hearing of the gospel and the receiving of the gospel. That you have a mortal enemy that will do His best to keep you from receiving the words of our God. Oh, He has spoken to you and me many times from this place, hasn't He? You have heard not only Him that speaketh from this place, but you have heard Him speak from other places. You have been reminded of His Word from sick beds, times you have experienced. You have heard and been reminded of the eternality of your soul, of death, of that which lies beyond death. You've been reminded of it, sick bed. You've been reminded of it from funerals. You've been reminded of it on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. You've been reminded of it as visiting preachers come, and so forth. And I wonder this morning, is everybody here under the sound of my voice? Have they a good hope and certainty of the good news of the gospel? Have they received the gospel? Have they paid careful attention and gave earnest heed to Him who speaks? Not me, but to Him who speaks through me in regard to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's many ways now of refusing Him that speaketh. You can refuse to hear Him that speaketh by not hearing Him. That is, by not even coming where He's spoken of. We have a few here this morning, but we ought to have a whole lot more, oughtn't we? We ought to have a whole lot more. We ought to have our pews filled with people to hear Him that speaketh. So there's a lot of folks. As a matter of fact, the majority of people at any given time on the face of this earth refuse to hear Him by not hearing Him, by not coming to hear Him. And they are without excuse. They ought to come. If you will not come to hear Him, if a man will not come to hear Him on the tree, then one day they must see Him for themselves on the throne. If you don't come to hear Him in regard to His cross, in regard to what God has done by sending Him, in other words, by God coming Himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to give life and pardon and peace and comfort and a home in heaven. If you will not come where that's been told time after time, time after time, if you will not come and hear that, then you will see that for yourself one day when He sits upon the throne. If you won't hear about Him on the tree, you're going to see Him on the throne. That is, there's going to be a judgment. There's going to be a day of recompense. And he's going to call them all together. And those that refuse in this life to come to this place where he speaks and hear and give attention to. He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, and take your place in the everlasting burnings." So there is many who refuse to hear him by refusing to hear him, refusing to come where the word is preached. Time for everything else, but no time for a man's soul. And I've already said it's the most important commodity that you've got is your never dying soul. And you ought to be eager, and I ought to be eager, to pay careful attention and to listen and to seek and to search, to hear from the God of heaven concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed, blessed, blessed Redeemer. Oh, a man may close his ears to the good news in Christ. But the day will come, and certainly it will, as sure as I'm standing here, the day will come when you'll not be able to close your ears when the wrath of God is pronounced. And the wrath of God falls upon a man. The fullness of the wrath of God, the unmitigated wrath of God, will fall upon him who refuses to hear, who refuses to give earnest heed and careful attention to him that speaketh. See, he said that ye refuse not to hear him that speaks. See to it. See to it. Well, most hearers, and the reason I know that most hearers are like this, because I'm a hearer. Most hearers are listless hearers. That is, they hear the sentences and they hear the phrases that comes from the tongue of the speaker or the tongue of the preacher, but they only penetrate the ear. They never reach the heart. There's that enemy that comes in and diverts their attention, causes them to put their thoughts in other places and to think of other things and say, "Well, tomorrow I'll do this," or "Tomorrow I'll do that," or "There's plenty of time." Listless hearers. There are some who do hear and have some idea. Some who hear, and some that have a idea. They have a understanding, a little understanding of what they hear, but yet they actually refuse it. They actually, in themselves, they refuse it. Why? I don't know. I don't know. For reasons best known unto themselves, I reckon. They reject the testimony of the incarnate God. They reject the testimony of the blessed gospel that tells them that God became a man, took upon himself the form of flesh, and suffered and bled and died and made atonement and is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him. They hear that gospel and they refuse it. They refuse it. Actually, they refuse it. They refuse the testimony that says, "Whosoever believeth on Him or believeth in Him is not condemned. How can a man? There's no way for a man who will carefully and earnestly give heed and pay careful attention to. If he will, if a man will give heed and pay attention to him that speaketh from heaven concerning his son, there's no way that that man will be lost. Because he'll hear. He'll hear. And he'll receive. And he'll bow down. Oh my. How can a man born of woman hear the testimony of God from heaven concerning his son and tell him he that believes on him will not be condemned? How can a man then refuse to be identified with him? That gives me cold chills when I think of the multiplied millions of people who care nothing about God. I just heard something there on the television yesterday, and I thought this is characteristic. It's typical of man's indifference concerning God. God that the heavens cannot contain. God become a man. God who's infinite in power and wisdom. Altogether lovely, the Bible says. Altogether lovely. Put it all together and he's altogether lovely. God condescended to become a man. Story is, he that believeth on him that I've sent is not condemned. Reverend and holy is his name. And I heard this story yesterday about this fella, basketball player, played against West Virginia Saturday afternoon. Providence is. He's their star player. When they first played, West Virginia first played him two or three weeks back, he was the man that was instrumental in beating him. And his name was Shamgod. You ever mention that name? Shamgod. That was his name. That's his last name. Shamgod. His first name was, I don't rightly know, although I did hear it. His first name was a common name. Bill, John, Joe, Mike, Pete. A common name. But he changed his name to God, Shamgod. Changed his name. His last name was Shamgod. He changed his name to God, Shamgod. Isn't that terrible? No more conception of God. He has no more conception of God than most people do. I probably would have done the same thing. No different than anybody else. But God, that's what I say. If you just have a little bit of light and a little bit of understanding, God, the awesome God, who made all things, sustains all things, all wise, all powerful. Fear not him that's able to kill the body, but rather fear ye him who's able to kill the body and send the soul to hell. For a mere mortal creature, a sinner, by nature, by choice, and by practice, to have the audacity to say, I'll change my name to God. Yeah. There was a baseball player, played for, I believe, Chicago Cubs. His name was Jesus Alou. God, Sham God. Audacity. I'm God. Looked like that there would have been some people at the courthouse that would have protested to this fella when he came to say, I want to officially change my name to God. Looked like somebody would have risen to the occasion and say, do you know what you're doing? Do you understand what you're saying here? That you're attributing that which belongs to God and God alone to you. Calling yourself God. Oh, listen. Isn't that characteristic of? That's the way men are listless and men are indifferent and unconcerned and don't care. God Almighty. Some refuse the gospel because they are offended at the gospel. As it was in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ when He came up and He got at a tender point in His preaching, and they that heard Him, they turned and went back and followed Him no more. They were offended. And He looked at Peter and James and John, and the rest of them, and He said, well, are you going to follow them out? You going with them? And they said, where can we go? Thou hast the words of life. Many people are offended at the gospel. Sometimes it evidently rubs them the wrong way. Sometimes they get angry when they ought to be angry with sin, not angry with Him who delivers from sin. Oh, yet they're angry with Him. They ought to denounce themselves instead of denouncing Him. They ought to seek mercy rather than denounce the preacher or denounce the authority of the preacher. They're offended by the gospel. No, they refuse Him. Offends them. It affects their way of life, they say. Well, it's robbing me of some of my pleasures. If I bow to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, it's going to rob me. It's going to take away from me some pleasures that I desire. Robs me of it. It curtails my lust. They're offended. Say, I'm good enough the way I am. I'll make it the way I am. I'm all right. I'll stand on my own 2 feet. I have some merit. I have some qualities about me that are worthy of consideration. You have no qualities about you. You have no merit about you. Your merit, you have none, but if you had some, it would send you to hell. Sure as 2 and 2 is 4. I'm saying all this morning in order that maybe God, maybe there's some, you know, I've fished in this hole for a long time. Have I caught all the fish that's here? I don't think so. If I thought that was true, I'd seek out a place. I'd find another hole. I don't believe that's true. But I do that and say what I'm saying this morning. That God might be pleased to impress upon you and impress upon me likewise. To refuse not Him that speaks. I could have pity on you. I have pity on you anyhow. But I could really have pity on you if you drank a bottle of poison and you didn't know it. I could have pity on you. But most, brother, they take it and know there's poison in it. Huh? Oh, listen. Many ways, aren't they? Great mass of men, boys and girls, men and women. They care not for heaven, care not for the pardon of sin. Indifferent to it. They like the rooster that found a diamond on the dunghill and he turned it over and wished it was a grain of wheat. Refuse not Him that speaketh. You hear what I'm saying? God spake from heaven to His Son. And He said, I come. He says, stop, look, and listen. Consider what I'm saying. Listen to me. Be quiet. And listen to me. I'm telling you that there's pardon for your sins. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you the way of pardon is through Him I sent. I'm telling you that my way of dealing with sinners of Adam's race is through a substitute, and the substitute is my Son, the Word. And if you'll trust in Him, if you'll trust in His sacrifice, I'm willing, on the basis of who He is and the ground of what He does and has done, I'm willing and able to pardon you, to forgive you of all of your sins, and clothe you in His righteousness and make you acceptable before me in Him. That's what God's speaking. That's what He's speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Ah, so I'm glad I listened. Wasn't in me to do so, you know that. But God so worked this thing that He got my attention. No one else ever got my attention. Headstrong, like a horse with a bit in his teeth. But God got my attention, and I listened. And oh, what joy did flood my soul when I heard that God, for Christ's sake, would forgive me all of my sins of yesterday, today, and sins to come. I said it's too good to be true. But I found it is true. So I bid you earnestly, lovingly, tenderly, best I know how, to refuse not him that speaketh. Hear ye him. He that believeth is not condemned. Huh? Is that good news? He that believeth is not condemned. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. To them that believe him. Oh, that men would know that you can't win heaven by your good works or your merit. It's only won by him who has conquered sin, the flesh, hell, and the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul, some refuse because they don't like the holiness of his teaching. Some refuse because of the strictness, so-called, of his religion. They say his religion is too strict, too precise. It cuts off all my pleasure. It condemns all my lust. If we refuse him, we shall be refusing and despising the highest possible authority in the universe. You refuse him, there's no higher authority in the universe than God. And he speaks to us in these last days by and through his Son. So if you refuse him, you refuse the highest authority in the universe that God rules and reigns in. There's no other. When Moses spake in God's name, he said to God, he said, I've lost my touch with civilization. I've been out there in the back end of the desert all these years. I'm not able to talk. They won't listen to me. He said, you go in my name. You speak in my name. You tell Pharaoh, I am that I am. Have sent thee. Highest authority. Who would, in those days, would make light of Moses' authority? And Moses was just a man. But I'm talking about him who's more than just a man. I'm talking about him who is God and man in one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Moses spake, it had been a crime, intolerable, to refuse the ambassador of God, even though he was a man. But Jesus Christ is God by nature. He comes from heaven. He comes from heaven. There's a parable over here in Matthew chapter. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 33, it's a parable spoken by him whom Paul said refused not to hear him that speaketh. Said there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and he hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower. And he let it out to husbandmen. He let it out to some fellows that would take care of it for him. And he went off into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. But the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. That was the treatment that they received from the hands of the husband. Well, he sent another servant. He sent other servants more like the first, and they did unto them likewise. So last of all, probably after some thought, He sent unto them His Son. And this is what He said. He said, they will reverence My Son. They'll reverence My Son. And when the husbandmen saw the Son, they said unto themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill Him, and let us seize off His inheritance. And they caught Him and cast Him out of the vineyard and slew Him. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will He do unto these husbandmen? They say unto Him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out His vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render Him fruits in their season. Now this is a picture. God sent His Son. See that you refuse not to hear Him that speaks. God help you that you'll consider what I said this morning. For your everlasting good, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you fall by the wayside. Receive Him. Receive Him. Bow to Him. Honor Him. Exalt Him. Worship Him. Love Him. Serve Him. All your life. Wish I could go back. Well, it's wishful thinking. But if I had to do over again, and I had anything to do about it, I certainly wouldn't have done the things that I done. I'd find a little comfort in a life that wasn't misspent. Don't misspend your life. Don't do it. Don't do it. Come to Him. Come to Him. Trust Him. Say, My beloved is mine. I belong to Him. He's mine. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed.